At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Gordon Liddy is my muse. In the Tunnel of Love, A Tale of the Cold War, Black Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Holmes Payne on the Case, Tip the Croquet Player. 5. Yes, this is a mystery yarn about Germany. Don't take notes. All the clues are coming back, and in sense around. I've shelled, rocketed, bombed, and strafed you with details because I'm fighting back. And my adversary is what's in that tunnel of love. It was important to me to find out. And if it's not to you, maybe I haven't told enough jokes so far. Maybe also I'm carried away by Marcus Aurelius's recommendation to dig, dig, dig for the intrinsic values, to solve the case with overheated words rather than the fire that has never worked permanently. I rang Frau Jodl that evening after watching Eddie Murphy in Beverly Hills in German. Made me feel homesick for silliness. We chatted entirely in colloquial German about my serendipitous week, and she actually said, "Jawohl, Herr Payne," when I hinted at her driving up from Nuremberg and showing me the Bavarian hinterland. She arrived Saturday at exactly 9 a.m. in a maroon Audi that clashed with her coloring. "My uncle's car," she announced. "He's trying to bribe me with one if I don't go back to Africa. My mother's put him up to it. What a deal." Frau Jodl was a brisk flaxen head with big shoulders, many curves, and pale blue skin that must have harried her in Africa. That day she wore climbing tweeds, and I soon discovered why. We darted up the splendid Cupcake Hills to the foot of a famous brewery monastery, Kreuzberg Rhone. The tourist buses up from Munich certified that this was what Bavarians considered weekend glee. We climbed up to the holy Gothic masonry. I balked at the crowd. There was an outdoor bazaar hawking lederhosen, mugs, and trinkets, and inside the hall the long tables were packed by tipsy folks scarfing down black beer and singing wonderlusting favorites. "Ach, Tip, you must try it," she said. "It's good luck, and this beer is famous, a love potion. On such a day, we don't have to sing, and no polkas. We can just drink a little and climb up to the crucifix." The love potion line worked, of course, calling anything such does. Call even abominable herbal tea a love potion, and any idiot will swoon. The climb worked on me, too. We went straight up a staircase to heaven, and by the top I was breathless to lean on her. The prize at the peak was a life-size crucifix. Couples carrying discreet blankets were scattering into the woodline. That was not for me, never is. As a salesman, I obey all rules. I sat primly beside Frau Jodl. The far villages were orange-roofed matchboxes, darkening and brightening as cheery clouds passed over them. Agrarian Bavaria, if you haven't ever wanted to go there, makes picturesque an insult. I glanced into the nearby woods. It was too cool for them to undress. I thought, it must be comical, but whose style isn't? Frau Jodl was acting impatiently intimate. "Just put your arm around me, then." Right. I distracted her with patter, then thought to ask what was most on my mind. Had she ever heard of Schweinfurt am Main's Tunnel of Love? She shrugged and shivered. "It's cold up here," she tried. I started to tell her why I cared about the Tunnel of Love. She wouldn't have it. "You know, Tip, no one cares about that time anymore. My papa doesn't care either. It was a long time ago. No one here today was born then." I asked if this meant it was a new Germany. She surprised me. "I don't care if it is or not. I was born here. I don't live here. Politics is, well, you know. You Americans, you already own everything. Why are you unhappy? You, my darling Tip, why are you unhappy? So free and rich. You remind me of someone I knew once. A terrorist. It's not funny. He's in jail now, forever, with his unhappiness. I don't think about Germany or any other country. In Africa, people are happy to eat once, just once. For me, you work hard and make things happier wherever you are. Good speech, I thought. A kinder man would have shut up. Tip asked who the terrorist was. He was a fascist, she snapped. He tried to blow up a bank, she snapped. He kidnapped two girls and killed one, she snapped. What does it matter now? He was the people's hero one day, so he claimed, and the next he was telling the police crazy stories about everyone he knew. That's your fascist. Heartless, brainless, gangsters. Crazy, sick, crazy, crazy, crazy. I waited to see if there was more. Then I asked if the gangster had sold her out too. Was that why she was in Africa? She leaned close. You do make movies, don't you? I forgot a moment. You're not a terrorist. You're Hollywood. I said I was certainly guilty of Hollywood. She laughed. No, no one sold me, Tip. Is that what you think? He sold only gangsters like himself. And now they're gone. She punched me and giggled. Maybe they're in your tunnel. How's that? We climbed down from Kreuzberg Roan, better friends, that's certain. And while we raced off to the local resort of Bad Kissingen for more sights, I decided I was in love with her for today. She wasn't my style, true, but a good weave nonetheless. And she wore Bad Kissingen so well. It's a village like a Disneyland for world-weary adults. Bad Kissingen was once famous for its mineral baths, the old-fashioned version of a health club. Haydn, Bach, Mozart are still playing the local band shell. Beethoven must have stumbled upon it in his forays and fled its charms instantly for the woods, tripping over fellow curmudgeon Goethe. Everything you can dream up that is bucolic and civilized about Bavaria is replicated there. And there's a casino, too. Convinced? The gardens are splendid, the swans are ethereal, the shops are baubles, the hoteliers are midwives, the churches are rococo apologia. As we strolled this paradise, my soul started to waver. I was thinking anti-Tip, treacherous notions such as John Calvin was a French. Well, you know. What was wrong with Popism was the Italians. Well, you know. America was lost over the edge of the flat earth. You know. Mine eyes have seen the glory, and it's Bavarian. You know. We supped on veal, and the meat weakened me the more, along with Liebfrau milk and Frau Jodl's affections. I hallucinated that I should quit common sense, propose happiness to this African angel, jettison 400 years of Puritanism, and seek the banns in a Catholic church. I even yanked wary Marcus Aurelius into this make-believe. He wrote, "One's dismissed the view you take, and you are out of danger. You have rounded the foreland, and all is calm. A tranquil sea, a tideless haven." So then, Tip, I thought, renounce your German bashing, your Bavarian entrail stirring. Sure, Hitler found a tideless haven in Bavaria and didn't exactly have to press gang his barbarous crew from the local farm boys. Sure, Bavaria was a home to Nazism like Leningrad to Bolshevism, Hollywood to Cokeism. But that's gone. No one young enough to copulate standing up was alive back then. I held on to my convenient counter-reformation as I held Frau Jodl's waist. Do you gamble too? She asked, pointing the way to the casino. I made a joke about losing a coin toss in my proto-past. I think you're a lucky man. Let's see. We tried my luck in the casino. The champagne tried my synapses. And then we tried each other again in a Baroque chapel of a hotel suite overlooking a small green. Trite consequences. Frau Jodl was another lullaby, but non-maternal for a moment. She was too much of a woman for me, yet I can fake it with the rest if I've convinced myself I'm being wickedly matter-of-fact. You must sleep on your side, Liebchen, she instructed me as we settled down in goose feathers. It's better for your heart and breathing. I thrashed around. There was more instruction. Don't sleep naked. Ring the porter for a nightshirt. It's chilly in the morning. I grumbled and made a remark. Think I need a nightcap? She was brusque. You can sleep any way you want to. I'm just thinking of your health. You don't wear enough clothes for the mountain air, and your muscles are knots from the way you hold yourself. At least, relax in your sleep. She was off to another medley of lullabies. I listened like a post-op patient. No nightshirt for me, but I did try to sleep on my side. This torture lasted until she slept. I'm too big to rest unless flat on my backside, like a corpse burdened with a soul. And then the bed attacked my spine. I confess I got even moodier. Also, I'd been dreaming badly since landfall in Germany, and Thursday night's Bavarian nightmare about Der Liebstunnel still harried me. By first light, I was fitfully visionary. I slipped out sideways, and she, a light sleeper like Clara Barton, instructed, "Drink some water. Don't smoke your pipe. Cover your shoulders. Sit by the window, and you'll soon come back to bed. I'm here." Many fine fellows I know would regard this sort of woman as a queen. She directed her energy right at me. She wasn't a shirker about the soul, either. For me, she was a threat alert. I escaped like Beethoven from blissful Bonaparte into the sitting room. I most enjoyed myself standing, smoking, uncovered, at the window. It was going to be another wunderbar day. The long first rays had reached the green below. There were no sounds but the hungry birds and a brook nearby. No color but the white-painted stones and that hunter's green perfection that grass enjoys minutes before dawn. I was cranky enough to stare and stare as I puffed and puffed. My anti-tip mood was gone. I stood a naked Puritan and scowled. I was chasing the tunnel of love. What was it? I couldn't solve it. I needed help. So I called on a make-believe friend of mine, a completely vain alter ego whom I call Holmes Payne. More grandiosely, I fancied that the spirit of Sherlock Holmes was close by me. He had fallen into Reichenbach Falls, and I made believe his spirit had bubbled here to me at Bad Kissingen. So then, I was Puritan Holmes Payne, on the trail of something that I'd heard, seen, touched, or imagined this last week that must be, the answer to my investigation. The crime was notorious. You know it by Dr. Watson's title, The Case of the Third Reich. 40 years later, the crime was well exposed, the victims greatly mourned, the criminals condemned. Holmes Payne was tracking a cold trail for something Scotland Yard had missed, as if Lestrade had leaped to the obvious at the Nuremberg trials, nabbed all the correct devils, but in his righteous haste botched the trail. Netting the right gang, Lestrade had missed the mastermind. My intuition was that Moriarty, the anthropomorphized source of all evil, had slipped away again. I wanted to get him, it, whatever it was. When you have eliminated the impossible, the incomparable S. Holmes once preached to Dr. Watson, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. All right, Holmes Payne summarized obediently. The eliminated impossibles were that Marcus Aurelius didn't waste his time on the Danube trying to pacify the German barbarians, that those same barbarians didn't eventually pacify Rome forever, that, skipping 1,500 years of skull and bones and what horror the Reformation and its counter caused, Germany didn't rise up out of imperial dunderheadedness to try to pacify every country on both sides of it in the First World War, the Great War. That Hitler didn't happen after the Great War. And, I was being meticulous, that our 8th Air Force didn't pound Schweinfurt flat for nothing but ball bearings. Most of all, that the Tunnel of Love doesn't mean something. Those were all impossible. I, Holmes Payne, tried to locate the improbable and lost the scent again. I called on Marcus Aurelius, more of his stress management. The one I like best is boilerplate for him and all of us Stoics. How's my soul's helmsman doing? This is everything. All else, within and beyond my control, is bones and vapors. There were some very fetching bones and vapors in the nearby bedroom, but to prove to you I am a low-slung bloodhound, I report that instead of quitting my nuttiness, I stayed with it. I stared down at the green, perfectly civilized Bad Kissingen, perfectly pastoral Bavaria, perfectly charitable Frau Jodl. And then I saw what was right in front of me on the green below my window. The green was used for croquet, probably for the touring English. Who else plays that silly game? Someone had missed out collecting all the croquet wickets. I spied the forgotten wickets because the light was better and they were white. That's it. The improbable solution. Croquet wickets. All at once, I'd solved 2 millennia of Germany, our bombing runs on all those black weekdays in the past, and our armored cavalry deployment here, waiting for all those black weekdays in the future. Most especially, I'd solved the Tunnel of Love. I know this sounds crazy. That sleepy, moody tip could spot simple white croquet wickets on a trim Bavarian lawn and know that he'd solved the case. I'm reporting it as it happened and skipping how I'd done it. It was an improbable and far-fetched solution, yet it was the truth, and it all came down to the tunnel of love. I knew what Der Liebstunnel was and why they hadn't cleaned it out and what was in it.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.